In this week's episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, I sat down with Troy King, aka T-King Mode on Twitter, to talk all things fantasy football Twitter, playing in Dynasty, keeping podcasts fresh, his weight loss journey, and a whole lot more. You may know Troy as a co-host of the podcast Fantasy Football Confidential, as well as a fantasy football writer with Ball Blast Football. Make sure you give him a follow and check out all of his work. Follow me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem. Follow the pod on Twitter at GetReal_pod. Make sure to check out my writing with the Fantasy Footballers. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. Make sure you subscribe to them and check out all the podcasts on that network. Oh, and there's a new Get Real t-shirt available at ffpodshirts.storenv.com. All right, y'all, without further ado, here is my interview with Troy King.
What's going on, Casey?
Hey, you know, just chilling. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I love the biggie in the background.
Thank you. Thank you. I got to get frames for it. Hopefully I'm getting it for Christmas. There's the other one.
Oh, yeah, cross your fingers for that.
I need some frames. I look like I just moved in. So you've been having a good day? Life been treating you well?
Overall, yeah. You know, I mean, just the regular stressors like work and things like that. But overall, man, I'm blessed. Things are going great. How about yourself?
Yeah, same. I mean, it's a little chaotic. It doesn't feel like it's about to be Christmas time. And, you know, just trying to deal with that. But yeah, everything's good. It's all good. And I was very excited because you are a person that I wanted to come on the show for a while. And I'm glad that I got you. And I appreciate you coming on with me.
Oh, cool. No, I mean, I've been listening to, you know, the Get Real pods, and I've enjoyed every one of them. I literally just like finished up with your Ray pod, and mm-hmm. it was well done. You know, per usual, I'm a big fan of them. So the fact that you wanted me to do this, you know, I'm excited. I'm very excited to chop it up with you. I just really like all the stuff you do anyway. So it's just awesome again to interact.
Okay. Well, we're done giving me compliments. It's time to start giving you some. Since you listen, you hear all the compliments. I just wanted to start off because you're newer to the community than a lot of people. And I mean, so am I. So can you go ahead and just tell everybody how you first started getting into fantasy football on the playing side? How did you join your first league?
Sure. So it was only about like 5 or 6 years ago. I started with work. So my work league, I've always liked football. So I'm a huge Dolphins fan. So I've always liked it. And I knew people who played fantasy football, but I just wasn't really interested. And then people in my work like, oh, you know, you should play. And I'm like, I'll play, but I'm not trying to get, you know, suckered. So right. I wanted to make sure that I was good enough to be able to compete with my friends. So I discovered podcasts, and I really thought there was like two podcasts, like, you know, Fantasy Footballers and like the CBS guys and, you know, the Yahoo. So I only thought there was like only like ESPN. So I only thought there was like only those four. So I only listened to those, and those were my go-to. So that's how I got into it, just with some friends. And it was very, 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 very casual redraft.
And then after that, how did you stumble across like fantasy Twitter, for instance? Because I know that's a big part, and everybody that's come on. So I'm only, well, not everybody, because there's a couple of guys that came on that it started in the inception.
Looking forward to it. Yeah,
looking forward to it. But yeah, how did you, you know, get started with just finding the community?
Sure. And I really appreciate this question, because it was so unexpected. So it was this year in terms of, so honestly, if it wasn't for 2020, it sucked in a lot of ways. But if it wasn't for being quarantined at home, I wouldn't be part of the fantasy community, most likely. So what happened was really is that I just started going on Twitter, because I didn't really use Twitter that much. I was more of an Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook person. So I'm like, let me go on Twitter, because I only really went on there during redraft season. I followed all like the big names. But during quarantine, I'm like, you know what, let me explore it. Then I realized that there are other people who happen to do fantasy football. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I heard a lot of people talking about the Scott Fishbowl. This year, I was a super novice to the whole thing. I didn't know what any of that was, but everyone kept talking about it. So I did a little bit of research. I'm like, oh, this is a big deal. And I'm like, hey, I want to get in it, you know, thinking like, oh, it wasn't going to be that hard. And then I realized that, oh, this was a humongous thing. And I didn't make it into the regular Scott Fish. And I just started like following random people who were talking about fantasy football, you know, even if it weren't a big name. And I just started, you know, it was very, very casual. Then I got into the satellite for Scott Fish. And then I networked with some people there. And then shout out to G-Man Jay. He actually commented because I saw that people were getting to different groups in terms of, oh, their draft position. I didn't know anything about that. But he was the one that told me like, oh, you should find a group to whoever's drafting your position. So I found that and I just continued just to network with people. And then from there, it kind of just exploded. I kept talking to people. And then shout out to Tyler from Dynasty Happy Hour. I just started tweeting a lot. And then he actually DM'd me and was like, oh, are you interested in being a writer? And I was like, oh, I wasn't really interested. I'm like, I'm just some guy that likes fantasy football. And I talked to my wife and they're like, oh, you love football and fantasy football. Maybe you should do it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe I will. So then through Dynasty Happy Hour, I met a bunch of people. I was tweeting and then people just started liking my stuff. And then people were reaching out to me to be guests on their podcast. And I'm like, so I'm like, oh, y'all want me to be a guest? Like, I'm just some guy that likes fantasy football. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I just started writing. But hey, I wrote my first article. And then shout out to Jacob Vines with the Snake in the Draft pod. He was my first podcast ever. So he DM'd me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, maybe he slid into the wrong person's DM. Like, I ain't anybody. but I went on the pod. And then after that, so that's kind of like a long-winded answer of how I started.
No, that's great. It's good to hear, you know, your side of how you came up with the Twitter community versus some of these people who, you know, it took, you know, finding the right person because like this guy that wrote for that guy for the newspaper or whatever, you know? So it's really cool to hear the different parts because I've been on Twitter for a while, but I honestly couldn't tell you how I found the fantasy football community. It just happened. And then you guys all just trickled in and it was just so awesome, you know? So how important do you think it is to network with people?
Oh my God. It's vital. It is so vital. But one of the things about it is that what I started doing is that I just saw other people post fantasy football stuff. And I would first start to comment and then I would comment, I would go back and forth with people, just regular stuff. And then they would follow me. And then your tweets and how you represent yourself is extremely important because people just gravitated toward my tweets because I try to be what I am on Twitter is how I am all the time. I'm overall just a positive person. I'm a pretty optimist. Mm-hmm. So I try to, and then what I realized that once I started getting a following, I wanted to show me. And then I was never like a huge stats guy. And I'm like, how am I going to make Twitter? How am I going to represent myself on social media? Like what approach? Because I didn't know what to do at first. All I know is like, hey, people started liking me. Like, all right, I got to figure out how I should be. Then I'm like, and I stopped worrying about them. Like, let me just be me. And then I realized that people started caring about what I said. And I just started tweeting and trying to be just positive, try to get advice, but also just trying to be funny. Like I post memes in Photoshop and I do it for other people to make them laugh. I do it for myself because I'm like, I'm going to use social media to have fun. Like I'm going to do it my way. And that doing it my way has allowed me to meet so many different people and get into retweet groups and get on people's pods. So I feel like if you aren't networking and supporting other people's content, because it's awesome if you're promoting your own stuff, but if you're not supporting other people, you're in the wrong business. And that's kind of that's for any walk of life, not just fantasy football. Like you can't do this alone. So networking, supporting others, people are going to want to support you at the end of the day. So.
For sure. And as the positivity that you were talking about earlier, when you answered, when you're on Twitter and you see people being trolls or being tools or just, you know, being complete jerks, I know they're not so much towards you, but I know that you stick up for a lot of people and, you know, you have people's back, which is a great quality to have. What goes through your head when you see some of the crap people, because you haven't been on Twitter as long as some people have, so you may not have experienced as much as, you know, me.
I've gotten my troll interactions have been very minimal compared to other people. Like, even though I'm a very frequent tweeter, and I get some that pop up here and there, sometimes I just ignore it. And to be honest, I don't even care as much if it's about me. It's funny because I think other people get mad more than I do when people are trolls to me. And it doesn't happen often. I'm lucky. For whatever reason, I don't always get trolled.
It's because you're positive.
Because I'm positive. I just try to just be very neutral, be positive. But people, honestly, like, my positivity kind of goes out the window privately when I see people, especially disrespecting my friend, disrespecting women. Like, I want to just stop being, you know, positive troll, and I want to, you know, show them a different side of me, because it annoys me. Because, again, say what you want about me, but when you start messing with people, especially when I know that they're good people, they don't deserve it, I want to act, you know, a different way. But I stop myself, and then I'll comment, or I'll just kind of generally I'll call it out, but I won't get all crazy. But I'm like, don't do this, or don't be like that guy, or this isn't right. And you know what? Because some people are on the edge. I feel like the majority of fantasy football community, positive people.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely trolls. And I think there's some people who kind of are like in the middle. They're good people, and sometimes they could be a little trolly. So sometimes my message is kind of for those kind of people. Because if you're a troll, you ain't going to change. No matter what I say, you're going to change. But if you're kind of like in that middle ground, I kind of want to call out the behavior so you could realize, like, hey, this isn't right. And sometimes you sit back, you think, you know what? He's right. Or again, if I change just one person's mind, that's what it's worth. I'm not going to change a bunch of people. Sometimes I'm just talking to a wall. But I want to stick up for my friends in a way that, like, I'm not just cursing at everybody, because the problem is with these trolls, they feed off of that. So I'm not trying to feed the trolls, because they have nothing to lose. And let's be honest, like, a lot of them are just there to be combative. And what I always say too is that I feel like for some of these people, especially some of the crazy things they say, if they're going to go out their way and say these things to a stranger, they must got something else going on in their life that's way worse. If they find a way to spew some of the hate that I've seen on Twitter, or the words that they say, and I'm like, if you have this and you can feel this way about somebody you don't know for like a just random fantasy football take, then you got bigger issues than this. So I sit back and I'm like, man, I feel bad for you. Hope your life gets better, but clearly there's something else going on there. It's not just fantasy football. So
yeah. And now that we've given the trolls all of their lovely time in the spotlight, we're going to move on to something more important that people probably actually care about. Trolls, yeah, just don't waste your time, basically, is what I say. Mute. But I do it all the time. I do. I have to throw that in all the time because my sister listens to this podcast, and she's like, you always give in to the trolls. So now I have to be like, I do, and then I mute them. All right, so back to the happy times. How did you become a writer in general?
So it goes back to Tyler from Dynasty Happy Hour. So originally, I wasn't going to be a writer. I wasn't really interested in it. My wife kind of convinced me, hey, I should do this. Like, I should become a writer. And I wrote a few articles for Dynasty Happy Hour. I got to network. And then what's funny is that Kate from Ball Blast, she reached out to me because she reached out to me while I was at Dynasty Happy Hour, just saying, hey, a kind of open invite, like, hey, if you ever want to be a writer for Ball Blast, you know, you can write for us. And I was like, okay, like, cool. Like, I know there's a lot of people that write for multiple sites. I'm like, man, that's a lot. Cause I'm like, it's enough to write for one site, let alone multiple. So I was like, I was just, you know what, if the opportunity presents itself, I'll do it. And then Dynasty Happy Hour, like, you know, they still have the pod, but unfortunately they're website, you know, this no longer exists. So then I hit up Kate, and I'm like, and one, I just love everything that the Ball Blast team is doing. Like, I love Kate, Michelle, all the red shirt guys. For like, sure. They're my people. So I was like, hey, I would love to be part of the team. And they welcomed me with open arms. They've been awesome. It's been just one positive and just supportive. And then they're just open. Like, I have freedom to write what I want to write about. I primarily focus on Dynasty content, but what I do is, like, I don't have like a deadline, I don't have this and that, so they're just an awesome team. So that's kind of how I started in the writing and what I'm currently doing now. And I've grown. I haven't been writing as often. I probably have written for a couple of weeks just because I've been on so many different podcast appearances in my own podcast. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of Dynasty, you said you started off doing a redraft league with, you know, with your coworkers and everything. How did you move into Dynasty and how did you find out about Dynasty?
That's a great question. So it's funny because I found out about Dynasty maybe like 2 years ago, but no one that I knew, everyone I knew was like super casual. I didn't know there's like this whole fantasy football world. So when I brought it up, people were like, you crazy? Like, no, we're like, all my casual friends were not interested in that. They're like, nah, like we are going to do that. So I was like, I kind of gave up on it. And then again, it was this year when early this year when I realized like, okay, there are people who care about this. And I started my first Dynasty League because I was listening to the fantasy footballers and they were talking about like, oh, you know, fantasy footballers like leagues. And then I somehow stumbled upon that. I met some people that were doing the Dynasty League. I'm like, hey, you know what? Whatever. Let me try it out. And then it started multiplying. I started wanting to do more because I was only going to do one. And now I'm at five. I know you are in a lot of leagues. So for me, like, I'm trying to keep my league count low. I'm in 12 total.
Good luck.
Five Dynasty. I know you're in a lot, but I'm
you're going to start slowly getting rid of your redraft leagues and start moving all to Dynasty. It's going to happen. And then Russ is going to come to you, Dynasty Outhouse, and he's going to be like, come join these 17 new leagues that I created. And then you're going to be like, okay, cool, because you're Russ. That's what's going to happen. But so being in that many leagues, do you feel sometimes overwhelmed with having to set that many lineups and do all that? Or do you have the type, are you the type of guy that like has it all planned out and you do this and you do that?
I'm not like you and some other people with your spreadsheets.
I don't have a spreadsheet. I have zero spreadsheets. That's why Zeke was in my lineup this week in one of my leagues. I don't have a spreadsheet.
Oh, no. So for me, like at first it was overwhelming because I was used to like last year, I was only in like four. So going from four to 12 this year, I was like, yo, how am I going to do this? And then there are times where like I forget to switch a player out from one league. And that, so there's some growing pains. Now I feel like I'm an expert. I'm like, all right, I know how to do this. Or like I know how to like check my leagues right before, you know, game time. But in the beginning, it was rough, but I've gotten better at it slowly.
Well, I'm glad you found your little pattern and the way to get it the way it is, because I still haven't done that. So speaking of Dynasty as well, I was one of those people that didn't play Dynasty for the longest time until everybody kept bugging me and I finally jumped in because I was scared for change. I just didn't want to do something that I thought was going to be too hard and too many rules and too many this and too many that. So what kind of advice do you have to people who only play redraft or play redraft in DFS, for instance, and they want to jump into Dynasty, but they're worried that they're not going to be able to handle it?
Sure. So my advice is that get with people, or at least one person that you know has done it. We're going to kind of explain the nuances because I believe it's a little intimidating if you just go into a random Dynasty league with people you don't know. I mean, it works out for some people. I did that, but I believe it might be easier if you have like a trusted person who happens to be experienced and they can kind of give you a rundown. Because during the season, Dynasty is just like redraft for the most part, except for, you know, you can trade rookie picks. So that's pretty much the only difference in season. Obviously, the benefit of Dynasty is all the off-season trades, and obviously you're building for the future and you get to keep your guys. So at first, it definitely seems more intimidating before you do it, but once you dive in, it's not that bad. It actually, I take pride in my teams. Because with redraft, it's like it's cool, but then once the season's over, it's gone and you have to reset, which there's a fun element to that. But at the same time, like my Dynasty teams are kind of like my babies, you know, like my children or my art, like I built it a certain way. I've structured it a certain way. Like I have my imprint on it. And to me, like if you enjoy that or you kind of enjoy that aspect to it, I think that's one of the biggest selling points. And then just being savvy and again, building for the future, trading, looking at young talent. And it made me so much more knowledgeable as a fantasy player being in Dynasty, because in redraft, you don't know some of these random rookies that are coming in the league. in Dynasty, like, you have to know it. You have to have these people for your taxi and things like that. So it makes you a better Dynasty player.
So speaking of, see, we're going to just do another transition. Speaking of being brand new to something, when you first wrote your very first article, how were your nerves? How were you feeling? What was that experience like?
I thought I was going to suck. Oh my gosh. I was just like, man, when I agreed to it, I'm like, man, I'm not a writer. Why did I decide to do this? And then I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? Like, are people going to like it? And that's, I think that's everyone's thing. Like, if I'm going to write this, are people actually going to read it? Or are people going to laugh at me or like be like, oh, this guy's a fraud. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the best that I can. And I remember I had my wife, before I sent it to my editor, I had my wife like, yo, I need you to pre-edit this before I send it to my editor, because I didn't want my editor thinking like, oh, who's this idiot who's trying to write? So me and my wife, and she did that for probably my first like 3 or 4 articles. I'm like, yo, you need to pre-edit this before I send it to my editor, say no thing, I'm an idiot. And then obviously after a while, I started getting more confident, and then I've gotten a lot of feedback. And that's what it is. Like, when I put it on Twitter and people actually read it and gave me feedback, that's when I started becoming more confident in my ability. And then when I started, and then it just got easier over time. The more articles I did, the easier it got, and then the more confident. And then also it's research, the knowing the different platforms to research on, and then like the information that's going to appeal to people. Because sometimes you can get too statty, or sometimes you get too general. So finding the right balance and also adding some entertainment into your articles, I had to find my own groove and my own way of doing it. So it took some time, but once you do that and you get the feedback that you're looking for, you'll become a better writer.
So you brought up appealing to people and making sure that you're not just all stats. How do you find a way to balance both of those things where you're coming across a certain way and you're not coming like you're dumbing things down, but you're not coming like all this is a stat and you need to take it in and figure it out yourself?
Sure. So, and that's I love that question, because I had to ask myself that question when I started it. So for me, I just tried to think like, I tried to be a neutral party. And then one other thing I did as well is going back to my wife. Like, when I wrote the article, she doesn't know anything about fantasy football, but I presented it to her. I'm like, hey, I obviously you're not going to know this and that, but do you get the gist of what this is trying to say? And then I'm using her kind of as like my baseline. And she's like, I can understand what you're trying to say based off of this. And then for me, I'm like, okay, I didn't want to just write for like people like us, like in this space.
Right.
I wanted to write for people, casual fans as well. So I actually, you know, I send it to like my friends, like, hey, like, do you understand this? So one of the things I did was I kind of just surveyed, like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, how, and just getting feedback. I think that's the ultimate thing. It's just write something, get honest feedback, and then you can kind of run with that, because you're not going to know the answers, because you might think you're doing something, but if you don't get others' opinions and you don't kind of canvas, I'll ask them, do you understand this?
Right.
And if they give me positive feedback, or this is too complicated, or now this is stupid. But if they're like, oh, like I learned something, like if I, because my friends are very honest with me. They're not shy to tell me if something sucks or if something's good. So I'll send it to them, and then they'll just be honest with me. And then I know, like, hey, if they like it, then most likely the majority of people are going to like it. And then it's important, because we see things much differently than sometimes the universe sees. Like, I'm a big critic of myself. So I might be hard on myself. I'm like, oh, this is too statty, or this is not enough. So I just get other people's opinions, and that helps me with my content and be able to put it out and try to find that right balance for people.
Excellent advice, and excellent to hear. That's how you, you know, I got ideas from you just now, like when you were talking about your wife, you know, reading it over before you submitted it. Like, why didn't I think of that, you know? So that's excellent. Yes, excellent. So something else that you were talking about earlier is the fact that you guest on a lot of podcasts. Like, I know I had you on my last one. I've seen you on a lot of different podcasts, heard you on a lot of different podcasts. How does that happen? Do you reach out to everybody? Do they reach out to you? I know we briefly hit on it, but how do you get chosen to be on these podcasts? People want to know, because I see it all the time. People are like, I wish I could you know, get on a podcast to get my name out there.
Sure. And I've gotten a lot of inquiries. I got a lot of people DMing me asking, how do I do it? And just being perfectly candid, I don't really reach out to people to go on their podcast. Most of the people reach out to me, but they invite me to go on the podcast. But I believe the reason why they invite me is because they see my content and they see my tweets. So because they just kind of see my energy and this how I am as a person, I believe people want me on their pods. Like for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, I present myself in a certain way and people want that to be associated, whether they see my interactions, I have a tweet that blows up, whatever the case may be, they decide that I'm the type of person that they want on their podcast to interact with me, get tips, whatever their goal is. I'm a guest that they would want. And then for me, and I kind of focus on my own personal brand. Like I want to represent myself in a certain way. Cause there's sometimes I want to tweet just whatever I want to tweet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I'll save some of my conversation for private discussion. But in terms of the public landscape, like I'm still me, but I'm showing myself in a specific way. And then another thing that I try to do, and I give people this advice in terms of not just being about stats, like tweet things that, you know, you would want to see on your timeline or things that help with engagements. Like I will tweet something that gets people to want to comment under my post. And because people like to be included in things and people like to relate. So I like to tweet things that people can relate to, whether I'm talking about my kids or my marriage, yeah. Everyone can relate to that. So people rush to my tweet and they comment like, oh my gosh, like I can relate to this or this and that, or I'll talk about, you know, a player who like burned them and then, oh, that player burned me too. So it's very important to be entertaining and relatable. Don't be something you're not, be authentic, but I believe that's been my success. And again, I'm just goofy. Like I have my memes in my Photoshop and people laugh and I'm having a good time. They're having a good time. And it's just another reason why people want to interact with me and network.
I mean, exactly. The ballers, the fantasy footballers, Matthew Berry, all of those big name guys and gals, Liz Loza, I can think of her right off the top of my head as somebody that has that personality that shines. And that's what you have to do. You have to be yourself, but you need to bring the entertainment value, just like you said. I think entertainment is a very important part of podcasts. You don't want to disengage the listeners. You want to actually get them involved, like you were talking about. So how, when people tweet at you or send you DMs or whatever, how quickly do you get back to them? How important is it to respond to people that are asking you questions? And why do you think that some people just ignore it all completely?
Wow, you're coming with a great question. I love it because it's so relatable.
Yeah.
And I feel like I believe I respond quicker than probably most other people do. I take pride in it because there's sometimes where I don't want to just ignore people because right. Because if I had a question, I was reaching out to somebody, I don't want to be ignored. So I try to do my best to get back to people within a reasonable amount of time. Sometimes it's within the hour. You know, I try to make a way to respond to people. If it's a start sit question, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. Sometimes, you know, depending on the DM, it can go on for a while. So sometimes I just have to cut it off and have to go on about my day. But for the most part, I'm quick because I want to help somebody, because if I was in that position, I would want someone to help me too. And then it's all about relationships, because I want people, when they're thinking about someone who wants to follow or recommend to follow, I want them to think about me in terms of me being supportive. And then, and honestly, one of the best feelings ever is when you give somebody advice and it hits, and then it either won them money or won them a matchup, and then they thank you. Like that's one of the best feelings in the entire world, because it kind of legitimizes what you're doing. And you know, it makes it kind of worth it. And whether it's about like a start sit decision, whether it's about a podcast, even if it's about saying no, I try to reply as quickly as possible to say how like I appreciate. Like, I always start with saying like, I appreciate you taking the time to reach out to me, to invite me to your show. Even if I can't make it, it meant a lot to me that you considered me. So it's very important for me to not ignore it and respond to people within a reasonable amount of time.
And that's a great answer, especially for people that are just starting out that don't have a whole lot of followers. Engage and listen to what people have to say and show that you actually care about their fantasy teams. I know some people say they don't care about your fantasy teams, which is fine, whatever. I mean, I care about mine more than I care about yours sometimes, depending on the, depending on the matchup and the week. Having a good communication style with people and being able to talk to people, and that's how you network, and that's how you do all of the stuff, especially on Twitter right now. That's how you do it. So now you also do a podcast and you have some really dope co-hosts as well. Yeah. But how did the podcast come about?
Oh, I was hoping you're gonna ask this question. So kudos to you for these questions, Matt. But John Bauer and Mitch Sorensen, they've been doing Dynasty Theory with Dan O'Malley. And I can't pronounce his last name. Sorry, Dan. I just call him Dan. But so John and Mitch, they reached out to me and they were like, hey, would you be interested in starting a podcast? And it is funny because I was listening to their stuff over the offseason. Like, I was always listening to Dynasty Theory. So when I got that message from John and Mitch, I was like, nah, like, you want to do a podcast with me? And I was just taken back. And then they were talking about how they love my positivity. And I was like, yeah, awesome. And they're like, you know, we want a fourth member. And then for me, I was like, so I suggested, hey, if we're going to get a fourth person, I want it to be a woman. Like, you know, it's cool as us guys. But for me, I'm like, I would love to balance this out. And then the first person I thought of at the time was Linda G. Mm-hmm. And I knew her, like, we were like cool. We knew each other casually, but like, I wasn't as, her and I like are pretty much best friends at this point. But at the time I wasn't. I just enjoyed the way she approached things. And so I was like, so I reached out to Linda, like, hey, like, would you want to be part of this podcast? And she was absolutely terrified. Like, she was so terrified to do her podcast. And then I'm like, so, and then she agreed. And then we all got together. And then from day one, we just had this chemistry. Like, we were born to be pod mates, you know, like co-hosts with each other. And then we were just trying to come up with a concept, and coming up with a name took a while, Fantasy Football Confidential. And then we're just trying to think of a concept. And you know what? Like, we didn't want to box ourselves in. We wanted to talk about whatever. We didn't want to be generic. And sometimes I like to call ourselves PG-13. We don't get R too much, but overall we're PG-13. Like, you know, there'll be a curse word here and there, but it's just, I think the chemistry that we've had since day one, it's just been phenomenal. We have our group text that we talk to each other every day. We roast people. And then one thing I got to, well, since we're on the subject, if it wasn't John Bauer, man. So there was one point in time, kind of, it relates to our earlier conversation where, when people were giving me all these praise and, you know, people were following me and things like that, I felt a little bit like a fraud or an imposter, because I feel like I didn't deserve all the love that people were giving me. And then there were times where I was being self-deprecating in terms of, you know what, I'm not as good as this person or that person. I don't know why everyone's doing this. And then there's one time, John was just like, had it with me, kind of being self-deprecating. Like, you know what, Troy, like, this ends today. Like, you're good enough. There's a reason people are following you. Like, stop it. And then after that talk, man, like, I've never been like that. Like, again, like, I haven't had that low moment or like bashing myself ever since that talk. And that was months ago. I feel like ever since then, it's been kind of like a rocket ship in terms of my confidence, the way I approach things. So I'll always be grateful to him for that.
That is so awesome to have somebody like that in your life that you could connect with and could kind of take you under their wing. Like, that's how it was with me. And when Brandon, Marianne Lee and her sisters, Courtney and Ashley, they were all the ones who kind of guided me as well. And it was super awesome to have that. So highly suggest finding somebody to be your quote unquote mentor, because that is an amazing thing. And they can build you up when you're feeling down. There's been a lot of people on this podcast who have talked about imposter syndrome and how they felt the same way. Even like the higher up guys that are like, on TV that, you know, you see every week. So it's not just you. If you're out there and you want to start something and you're scared to do it, don't feel like you're the only person that's ever felt that way. We all feel that way. So good advice. And you guys have four co-host on your show. Do you guys ever have guests on your show as well?
We did one time. We plan on having more guests in the off season. So, so Mike, aka Daddy's Home FF, and Chase Vernon, FF Intervention, they were our guests, and it was a wild show when they guested it. But we plan on having more. For us, it was all about, because we're only how many episodes now? About like 15, 16 episodes at this point. So we're babies. So for us, we kind of wanted to get our, like our sea legs. Like we wanted to find our chemistry. We wanted to build up. We wanted to have a groove. And then during the off season, that's when we're really going to focus on bringing guests on and interviewing and things like that. And there's so many people that I've collab with and then people I want to have on my show. And I just can't wait, like, you know, for that opportunity to be able to have guests on the show during the off season.
My question to you is, besides me, who's your dream guest to have on your podcast?
Oh, you definitely one of them. You're definitely on the list.
Who would be the one person though, that like, if you got them on the podcast, you'd be like half nervous and like about to wet yourself and half like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
This is so hard. I would say, besides, there's so many big names, but I would say probably any of the fantasy footballers. Because they're the reason I started fantasy football. Like I listen to them. I listen to them daily still. I still listen to them daily. So I think if I had one of them on my show, like Andy, Mike, Jason, any, I would be ecstatic about any of them. There's so many I could fit it, but any of those three, I'd feel have that feeling.
Me too, guys, if you're listening. And I work.
Yeah, like... you're ready for them.
So anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Let's go back to talking about the podcast, because I think a lot of people that are listening are probably interested in starting podcasts if they don't already have one. What kind of advice do you have for the people that haven't started a podcast when it comes to, if they decided to have a host, a co-host with them, what kind of advice do you have on picking the right person to be a part of the show with you?
So you want to make sure that you guys have similar ideals and similar goals in terms of how you want to present the show. So I believe that you have to do a lot of vetting. So before we actually went live, like me and John, Mitch and Linda, we had a lot of conversation to kind of see if we were all the right fit for one another. And it, for us, we were lucky enough where it didn't take long to figure out that we were, but through conversation, we realized that we had a lot of similarities. You have differences that make you unique, but in terms of the goals and how we wanted to represent ourselves, we were very unified. So if from the beginning, if you already are vastly different in terms of the direction you want to go with a particular show, you're going to have difficulties if you decide to start a show. So you want to have open and honest conversation with whoever that is that you want to be your co-host, because you shouldn't worry about hurting people's feelings and like that, because you know what? It's going to be too late if you don't ask all the questions you need to ask, or if you're not open and honest, and then you start a show and then you might regret it. But it's just kind of anything. If you start any kind of joint venture with somebody, if you're not fully sure of the direction or how that person's thinking, then it's going to end up being a detriment to both of you. So just be open and honest and make sure you guys have the same goals.
And yes, that's great advice. Great advice. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast where it's just you solo, or maybe do it in the future? Is that anything that's ever crossed your mind?
That's funny, because I've been offered opportunities to do solo podcasts, but for me personally, it's not that I'm interested in. Like, I was going to do something solo, it'd be like 10 minutes, you know. Yeah. I don't want to do something for a particular, for me, I'm a huge team player. So I'm better with other people, and they make me better and I make them better. So I'm decent solo, but I feel like I get my superpowers when I get to collab with other people, whether I'm guesting or on my own show. Like, my teammates make me better. And so that's the reason why, like, it's cool if I do it solo. Again, it would be super quick, but that's not really a goal of mine at this time.
Well, you're doing it right with the podcast that you have now, because you guys really do feed off of each other in a positive way. It's really good to see hosts that can interact like that with one another, because a lot of times, I wouldn't say a lot of times, but sometimes you'll hear a podcast where the two hosts just seem like night and day, and that they're not, they don't even like each other outside of the podcast. Yeah. So it's good to have that back and forth without getting offended, you know? So another question I have for you about your podcast is, the first time that you guys went on air and actually did that, how were you feeling? Were you nervous? Were you excited? What, with a big bundle of all kinds of emotions?
So before we did it, I had a lot of practice in terms of going on other people's pods, but then it was different, because I was like, it took a while to realize, like, hey, this is my podcast, because I started just going on everyone else's pod. It was weird to like kind of own something. It's still, to this day, I'm like, wow, this is actually my podcast, because I still guest on so many people's. So the first show, I was just so nervous about sounding smart. I'm like, hey, this is my pod. Like, I want people to be like, you know, oh, he's the guy who does Photoshop and memes on Twitter. Does he actually know what he's talking about? So it was very, day one, I was like, okay, I want to sound smart, research stats and all that. And, you know, I probably took way too many notes for my own first podcast, because I wanted to try to prove myself to other people. And then after that, I'm like, you know what? I know how to research. I know how to present it. Because also after that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it differently the following episode. So I still did my research, but I made sure that I focus on the things that people actually cared about. And I made sure that I presented in a way that people can digest and they can actually use. So I really just focus on actionable advice versus like, how many stats can I find for my first episode? So,
and that's what I like a lot about podcasts, is they are less oriented on giving you stat. And you get more of the, this is why I feel like this. And we know the guy gets a lot of yards, but this, that, and the other. So it's really cool to hear an actual voice telling you the stuff instead of you just sitting there and reading a bunch of numbers. On podcasts, since you were talking about how you guested on a lot of podcasts prior to starting your own podcast with your homies, would you, if you had to suggest one or the other to people that are thinking about, you know, podcasting, would you suggest they get their toes wet by guesting on a pod and then starting a podcast? Or you think that starting a podcast first and then going after that experience and then going as a guest would be the route to go?
I say guesting. I feel like if it wasn't for me guesting on podcasts, me doing my own would be so much more difficult. And I can speak for myself and also my friend, Linda, because before we started our podcast, one of the first things she said is that I want to practice going on other podcasts before I go on ours. Yeah. And she did that and she got more comfortable. And now she's potting all over the place. She does our pod. So I strongly encourage you to do guest spots, so you can also get a feel, because if you've never really been on a podcast. And then one other thing I also did when I went on other pods is that I learned what I liked and what I don't like. And then I was able to implement that into our pod in terms of collaboration, or just give John and Mitch feedback, like, hey, like, I like this, I don't like that. And then we're just open and honest. Like, if we think something's trash, we're going to be like, nah, this is trash. We're not going to do it this way, or I want to do it this way. But you don't, it's not, you don't know what you want until you get experience. And you get experience by going on other people's podcasts and seeing how they're doing it and kind of taking a little bit from what everyone else does and then just adding it to your own brand and then coming up with magic.
Guessing on podcasts, like you said, is a great way to learn what you like and what you don't like. I know that I would have not known what a show sheet was. I didn't know show sheets existed until the open bar, because that was the first podcast I was on, and they don't have a show sheet. If they try to trick you and tell you that you're in charge of the show sheet, do not listen to them.
Oh no, I've been on open bar. I was looking at the open bar twice. I didn't fall for it. I love those guys.
But, you know, Brandon Marianne Lee, she was on with me one time and they told her and she was like, what? I didn't know. So on your podcast, we were talking about how there's so many podcasts out there. How do you make sure that you guys set yourself apart from, maybe not even apart, maybe very similar, but still with your own quirks? How do you make sure that you keep it fresh?
So we have team meetings. So we have team meetings all the time, and we are just open, because we're just like, hey, we don't want to be like everyone else. And it's been times where like there'll be during the week and then I'll throw out ideas and then John or Mitch or Lynn will be like, nah, like that sounds too generic, you know? So that's kind of, it's just about open communication. Or if we have an idea, it's like, like that's so like every other fantasy football show. Like we probably say that a lot. And then we just strive to, you know, we obviously you can't, there's only so much you can do that's different, but you can always just kind of put your own spin on it. So we're going to talk about players. Like you can't avoid that, but we always just try to present it in a way that's different. Or we'll go back and forth. And sometimes we'll play like drinking games on the show and just add a little twist to our presentation.
Yeah.
And just making sure the show flows well, you know, just so different things like that just to stand out. Because again, we don't just want to be like, oh, start sit decisions every single week. Like no one, it gets old. So it's all about open communication, team meetings, and just being creative together, working together to find something that's different each week.
And with podcasting, we were talking earlier, just a couple questions ago, I was asking you about how you felt when you first started. Around what episode do you think you started feeling like, I found the groove, I got it, it's good?
I would say probably like episode 4 or 5. Because mm-hmm. after the first three, I'm like, it's funny because for the longest, we have this running joke where for like the first like 12 episodes, that was the best one. And it's funny because like our last episode, just being candid, like we did like a start sit one, and then it was the first time we ever did it. We actually didn't say that about that one because it wasn't we didn't have the structure and the flow that we normally had. It was kind of more free for all. And that's what we actually didn't say it. And then, so we realized that, you know what, we know our groove. We know what works for us. We know like the structure. You know, shout out to John. Like he's very good at organizing us. And to make sure that we don't talk over each other and to make sure that there's not a lot of dead air and that things are flowing the way it should. And so most of the time the orders, we're like in a, you know, we're like a 4-person team. So sometimes it'd be like me, Mitch, Linda, Mitch, me. Like it's just, we have like a system, and sometimes when we go off that system, it doesn't work. So, but yeah, I would say like 4 or 5 is when I started really feeling it.
I still don't feel that comfortable, which I'm going to be honest and admit that like it takes me a little bit to like warm up to everybody. I think as the interview process keeps going, like I get a little bit more loose with it. But man, you know, even talking to you, somebody that I know, it's still like gets a little, ooh, you know, I got to make sure I want it to come across, you know, you want it to come across like you know what you're talking about. Even if you don't know what you're talking about.
You know what you're talking about. So I'm going to give you credit again. I've heard you do your thing, and we've been friends, we're homies. So you know what you're talking about.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to keep you around just so you can keep giving me compliments. So you're part of this new wave of fantasy football analysts that are out. I mean, you've listed off, basically everybody you've listed off for the most part are people that I'm seeing the comeuppance of now. So there's this whole new wave of people coming in. What do you think, since Twitter's such a big app when it comes to Twitter or when it comes to fantasy football and all of that, do you think that there's another app out there that might gain popularity with newer and newer, younger and younger people coming up?
I mean, the TikTok wave seems to be popular, and I've had a lot of discussion because I've seen different type of analysts use it. I've seen, you know, men use it. I've seen women use it and people like Troy, you should get on TikTok. I don't know if I'm going to transition to TikTok. I mean, like there are elements of it that kind of matches me. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on Instagram, but I kind of use my Instagram more for like my personal stuff than fantasy stuff. Like Twitter just is my safe house. I think it's super important. Like if you can find different spaces to put yourself out there and exposure, take advantage of it. I myself haven't done that. I mean, Twitter's just been my go-to and it's worked for me. And then I just feel like in terms of interacting with people, mm-hmm. I don't think there's another platform that you're going to beat with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. They just don't have the way Twitter's layout is.
Yeah.
You're not going to, no other platform is going to beat that interaction you're going to have with people. So I'm very confident in saying that. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to gain a different audience, I would say that TikTok is probably the new hotness. So if you find ways to have a creative video and present fantasy advice, and I know, you know, a bunch of people that are doing it, like Annie OD, Sam, like there's just so many people.
Yeah, I feel like I'm too old for TikTok, so I'm just gonna have to leave that one in the, you know, for the younger kids. I'm gonna be over here with my cane. I want to know, you know, one media that's not going away, you know, is going to be visual media. So the video, like the YouTube videos that you guys put out, all the streaming platforms. You were also on Fantasy Football Live. You got to guest with Andy Behrens. Can you tell me how that came about and what that experience was like?
Man, it was pretty awesome. I can't lie. So one day, I'll just tell you the full story. So one day I was on Twitter, and then I saw Yahoo Fantasy Sports. They followed me. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, yo, they followed me. I just thought it was a cool follow.
Right.
And then I got a DM from them, and they're like, oh, you know, this season we're trying to feature, you know, some fantasy football analysts on Fantasy Football Live. And I was like, you know, they're like, oh, would you be interested? Like, for me, like, I didn't even have to finish the paragraph when I was reading it to know, hell yeah, I'm interested. I'm like,
that's right.
I'm like, you just let me know when you need me. And then that was like, kind of like, I think that was, so that happened. I remember the month. So that happened. I'm just like excited. Like, yep, here's my email. Like, you know, whenever you need something, you know how to find me. Like, I was so excited. I had no idea like when they were going to hit me up. But the fact that they practically reached out to me, I'm like, ah, that's dope. Mm-hmm. And then the timing of it was really funny. And then a couple weeks after, Andy Behrens followed me. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, nah, because I used Yahoo for the, like, Yahoo's like one of my favorite platforms to play fantasy football. And obviously, everyone knows Andy. So when I saw him follow me, I was like, yo, this is so dope. And then, I got an email. I believe it was like either DM or email about, yo, this week is when we want you to come on, because it was the week where Tua was getting the starting job. And I'm a very open Dolphins fan. So I don't know if, like, I think it just match made in heaven. So they're like, hey, like, this is when we want you to come on. So then we just set it up. And then, you know, it was me and Andy. And then he's such a humble dude. He's so chill and he's just so nice, because I didn't know what to think of him. Because, like, you know, everyone's like likable on, you know, when they present themselves on Twitter. So I'm like, how's it going to be a regular conversation? And he was just talking to a regular guy. And it was, I wouldn't say starstruck, but I was like, man, I can't believe I'm interviewing with him. I was worried about sounding smart, you know, and then it was just so refreshing. Like, he was just so cool. He's like, and it's nice to know, like, when people like that end up being just awesome dudes.
Yeah.
Like, it's refreshing. And then, you know, we just got to just chop it up about Tua and the Dolphins and Fitzpatrick. And yeah, people were shocked when I put the, you know, retweeted the video, like, yo, Troy, what you doing? What you doing on Fantasy Football Live? And then it's from there, you know, it was awesome. So, yeah.
That's super dope. Was that probably one of your more high up here on the anxiety?
Oh, yeah. 100% anxiety. Yeah. I was like making sure my room was clean. Like things like that. Skype, because normally I don't really care. Yeah. I want to make it decent, but I was anxiety in terms of all the things I've done. That probably was my highest anxiety of being nervous and making sure like I sound a certain way. It was definitely that.
Well, I say we, it's just me. It's a solo podcast with awesome homies. I had Andy on a while back and we were talking about that and about you. And he was just, you know, over the moon about how excited he was to have you on and how great, you know, of a conversation you guys had. So that was really rad to see and to be able to talk to him about that. He is a really down to earth kind of guy. And I asked him about the segment that they have on there and he was like, oh yeah, I think it's kind of like they're, you know, auditioning you guys and like, it's kind of like an interview thing, just so you know, because fantasy is just growing and growing and growing. Mm-hmm. Besides being on a podcast or a segment with Andy Behrens, what is something that you haven't done yet, that's something that you like aspire to do, something that would like just blow your mind if it got to happen?
Sure. I believe it's just going on pods similar to that, I think that was a really mind-blowing experience. But to be able to, you know, one day go on Fantasy Pros, one day chop it up with this CBS, you know, crew, and just different platforms like that, for me, like, the sky's the limit. Because just being candid, like, I would love to eventually have a career in this field. I feel like a lot of us strive for that. And some of us, you know, it doesn't work out. And maybe I'm an optimist, but there's something inside me that says, like, I was kind of made to do this. You know, like, I really just started this path in August. And then it's been a long, it's been a crazy journey since August, you know, in terms of being a writer and all that. So I'm like, hey, for me, I'm like, yo, all this is happening for a reason. I don't think it's an accident that I got to meet all the people I'm meeting, being on these pods, getting some of these falls and things like that. And I work hard at it. I enjoy it. And I feel like I deserve it. And I'm going to keep striving forward. And it makes me happy. And like, I don't believe it's just a hobby. And if you have a passion for anything in life, I believe that if you have the confidence and you enjoy it, you should pursue it. And, you know, there's burnouts and people get burnt out doing this, doing that. You want to make sure you're taking care of your mental health. But for me, like, I'm ready to go. Like, it's all about trying to find that balance between my home life and kind of my real job in fantasy football. But, you know, me and my wife's been so supportive. My family's been so supportive. And yeah, it's been an awesome journey so far.
That is so excellent. You need that good support system, and you need people on your side and to understand that it's not just a hobby. Yes. I mean, I've been on Twitter since probably the mid to late 2000s. I was like 2006 maybe or something, but I didn't get involved in actually writing and stuff until a few years ago. I was always a part of the community, but I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. And somebody, it took Ryan Hallam, you know, reaching out to me to start writing for me to even really get involved in any of the stuff. Tim Turner was like, hey, why don't you do it? And I'm like, why don't I? So yeah. And then figure out that your support system's there. How is balancing being a part of the fantasy industry and having a family and then having a job outside of, you know, fantasy? Because hint, hint, guys, when you start out, it's not always full time and all that. You gotta grind. So how do you find a way to balance all of that?
Man, sometimes it's very tough, I'll be honest. So I'm very lucky. I actually work from home now. Just with the pandemic, I work from home. If it wasn't for me working from home, I probably wouldn't be in this industry. Because what I do is that I work, you know, and I'm good at my job. I work, but I still tweet, you know. I don't think anyone's from my job listening, but obviously or follows me. So I tweet a lot. So because I work from home. So I take advantage of being actually working and then kind of doing my thing in the Twitterverse. And my wife, like, it's all about open communication. Like, I just always had to give her a heads up, like, hey, this day. And I just tell her, like, this is the goal. And she knows what my goal is. And then sometimes she doesn't like it. You know, sometimes we get into, you know, discussions about me potting too much or this and that or making time. And I'd have to do a lot of things to kind of make it up to her. But there have been times, and, you know, there's times we have my stepdaughter, she's 13, and I also have a toddler who's 3. So there have been times where, like, I've been potting and, like, it wakes my toddler up, and then she'll sleep with my wife while I'm potting because she won't go back to sleep. So just little things like that in terms of just the family supporting me and just dealing with me. But you know what? One day I know it's going to pay off. I'm confident it's going to be pay off when you keep hustling and do what I need to do. And that's about it.
And that's what you got to do. Just keep grinding. And your family knows that what you're doing is for the greater good. You're trying to better yourself and better them at the same time. So reason I say that is I'm just going to play that part to my wife so that she understands that that's how it should be. So another question I have for you when it comes to all of that, just about having your friends and the friends that you have in real life. So the peeps that you actually see face to face every now and then, instead of just on a computer screen, those people do, since they know you write about fantasy and you talk about fantasy, do they come to you and hit you up for advice on the regular?
They started to now. It's funny because, like, when I first started, like, writing, I think, like, I don't think they took me seriously, but the things that really And even when I started writing, like, I think some of them kind of asked me for advice, but I think they're a little bit skeptical, like, oh, this is Troy, know what he's doing. And the things that legitimize me, I'll be honest, like, when I had that Andy Behrens interview, man, that's when the questions really started coming. Like, all right, Troy's just not playing around. He actually knows what he's doing. Like, you know, and like, they know I'm good at fantasy, but they're like, okay, it started to be legit. And then recently, Matthew Berry followed me. And when they noticed that he followed me, now every day, yeah. They didn't ask me anything at the beginning of the season. Yeah, now they want to ask me everything multiple times a day because, like, oh, if he's following him, Troy must know what he's doing. And so they try to take advantage because it's funny because I answer a lot of start-sit questions on Twitter. But then I had, like, people texting me, like, yo, Troy, what about this? I'm like, I just want everyone to get on Twitter. It'd be so much easier if all my friends were just on Twitter. So yeah, I could just talk to y'all at the same time. But they want to get, like, super secret advice from me. But I give it to them. You know, they deserve it. We've been friends for a while. But it's just funny how things change so quickly.
Well, are they in any leagues with you?
Yeah. So yeah. It's funny because one shout out to my friend Alex. So how I got started in fantasy football is my work league. And me and my friend Alex, we've actually met in my work league championship. This is going to be the third straight year that him and I have been matched up together in the championship. I've lost the last 2 years, and he is a huge bragger. He is not humble. So he's let me hear about it, you know, me losing the past 2 years. And obviously this year, you know, I'm a fantasy analyst now. So since I'm in the championship, I'm trying to take that win. Because if I lose again, I'm never going to hear the end of it. Him beating me 3 straight years. Like, nah, I'm taking home the chip this year. Alex is going down. But, I have my own family league where it's like my brother, my sister. That's super casual. You know, like, and whatever other family league where you play with, like, your mom and your dad is that kind of league. And then I just have another league where it's like, my leagues are competitive. My redraft leagues, like, I love them because, like, there's where I started and it's very competitive. Everyone wants to beat one another. So I still love them. And it's different than industry leagues. Like, I like industry leagues too, but there's nothing like your original, like, redraft leagues that you started with.
And some people don't get that, but yeah, those OG leagues. I mean, it's great. Have you ever done a live draft?
I've never done one. I've never done a live draft. I'm going to be doing some next year. Next year, when things get to normal, I'm going to do live drafts. I'm going to go to fancy conventions. Like, I'm going to be doing everything.
I was going to ask you, have you met anybody from the fantasy community in real life? Or is it just nope?
Nobody. Not even my co's. Nobody. So it's great. I'm excited. Next year, I mean, everybody and their mama.
Well, you know, I had Bob Long on and we were talking about his expo and how it got canceled this year in Ohio and how exciting that would have been. I was going to go to that. I was, like, so excited to meet everybody and that didn't happen. So
we're going to make that happen next year.
We're going to make it happen. It will happen. I want to talk to you about something else that you had been posting about recently. And I know you've talked about it before, your weight loss journey and how you did that, because we had, again, I got to realize I'm the only host of the show. I had Matt Harmon on, and Matt Harmon was talking to me about his weight loss journey as well. So can you just tell everybody that's listening right now how that went and why you decided to make a healthy choice for your life?
Oh, sure, man. So this is probably one of the, like, the nearest dearest things, man, because I struggled. So most of my life, like, when I was younger, I was always kind of pretty skinny. So it started when I hit college. So when I went to college, I did nothing but party, drink, all that, eat bad. So I gained a lot of weight. Like, I was pretty, like, I was in shape, like, in high school. And I slowly in college just started gaining weight. So first I was big, and then I actually lost it. So I lost it, but I didn't lose it by, like, eating healthy. Because I was younger, I was like 21 or 20. So all I had to do was really work out, eat less, and then I lost the weight. So now I got skinny again. Mm-hmm. And then I was good for a while. So for years, I was fine because, you know, I was single. I was like in a relationship, I was single. So I kept the weight off. And then it was when I got married, I got way too comfortable and I got huge. I got all the way up to like 280. And then I knew what I was doing. Like, I wasn't doing anything. So I knew exactly what I was doing. Yep. I was at a job that I didn't like. I was getting, like, fast food every day for lunch. Like, I was doing everything you shouldn't be doing, you know, in terms of a healthy lifestyle. And then one day I remember, and I was going up the stairs and I could just, well, I was winded. Every time I went up the stairs, I was just winded and I felt embarrassed. And just my relationship with my wife, I thought that if I didn't do something soon, like our relationship's going to suffer. Like, why would someone want to be with someone who's unhealthy? And also, I went to the doctors and I was young. I was only like 23, 24. And like they're talking about, I almost had high blood pressure. And I'm like, man, like I'm just way too young to be done with this. And then I just started hitting the gym. Like I was getting up at like 4:30, just hitting weights, hitting cardio. And then at first it was just working out. And then I discovered like, hey, just tracking my macros, like my protein, carbs, fats. And then I started being consistent and like I had goals and like I had my stepdaughter. For me, I'm just like, hey, I want to be a dad. I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to be able to, I just want to have a healthy life. I want to have a healthy, happy life. And I couldn't do that being big. And then there were so many times where I felt discouraged. And I just kept going and I kept remembering my goals. And there have been times where I didn't want to go like to the pool or to the beach because I didn't want to take off my shirt because I was so embarrassed. So just different things like that, just having that mentality of, I don't want to be like this. Like, I want to be happy and it's in my control. And so, even to this day, like, I work out at least like 4 or 5 days a week. And like, I was pre-pandemic, like, I was probably in like one of the best shades. Like, I'm still good now. Like, I'm still consistent, but I'm not where I need to be. Like, it never stops. Like, it's all about just having a healthy lifestyle. It's just, you just don't lose weight and then, oh, you're done. Like, you have to make it a lifestyle. You have to make healthy choices every single day. So I try to do that. And then I've helped motivate people. So overall, it's been around like the 80 pounds-ish that I lost. And then I try to post pictures just to show people like, I'm working out and I'm being consistent. And I help motivate others, and just you lead by example. I'm like, hey, like if I can do it, you can do it too. So.
And that's so inspiring and so awesome. And, seeing how you went from point A to point B, it's just so inspiring. Like, I wish I had that mentality, and hopefully someday I will. But man, you're a huge inspiration. And I think more people need to just kind of look at what you're doing and be like, wow, I can do it too. Like, this dude's got all kinds of stuff on his plate. And you really do. I mean, you do fantasy, you've got family, friends, work, and everything else in between. And on top of that, you're also a really big advocate for women and people of color in the fantasy football industry. I know that you're very, into making sure that, people are represented. How important do you feel that is to the fantasy community, and why do you think that, we need to be more inclusive?
Oh, I could honestly, I could probably do a whole podcast just on this. My gosh. So it's funny because one of the things that actually helped me grow, and this is when before I even became a writer, is like I made a post about being in the space of being welcomed. And then I made a post about just finding other Black analysts because I knew it was just so rare. Because when you listen to most podcasts, it's mostly white men. Like there's mostly like white men who are doing podcasting. That's kind of America in a nutshell. But for the most part, it's just white guys. And I love them. Like I have so like I love these guys. They're great guys. They're very knowledgeable and they have great podcasts. But there wasn't a lot of diversity. And then I just started discovering people like Ray GQ, like Porkman from Dynasty Rewind. There's Marcus G. There's Fantasy in Session, there's Run Boys, there's Real Deal Fantasy. Like, there's so many other people in the space. And I had to discover that I wanted to highlight that because they are so talented. And then some of them are just not. And also, shout out to Fantasy Lore. Like, I try to promote them, and not just because they're Black, it's because they're Black and they're talented and they deserve a platform to shine and they bring a different element, like they bring a different swag, a different feel to fantasy football and the way they present. And I love that. And I feel like it's so refreshing, so entertaining. And I learn. And then again, they're just so intelligent. They just bring a different aspect. And everybody in this space can learn from that. And I think that's one of the reasons it's important. And then about women, man, honestly, women just make it things way more interesting. And because also most, there's so many women that are way better than a lot of the dudes in the space, not just in terms of their content, but in terms of fantasy players, in terms of their knowledge. And I've gotten the pleasure just to be able to meet so many of them. So I think that's probably one of the things that bothers me the most. When I see men disrespecting women, and maybe just the way I was raised, but that pisses me off like no other. Like some of the things that like is in, not to get into the trolls, but I just seen like people just not appreciate women and their knowledge and all the things that they can do. And it's not being nothing, this is not me being a simp or trying to do anything like that. It's just, I'm just being honest. Like I've gotten to meet so many awesome women. And then, and again, it's just, I just don't want to just always, I love my white guys, my homies, y'all my dudes, but I like, you know, whether, you know, you're a black guy, Asian guy, you're a woman, I don't care if you're white, black, whatever. It's just different. I like different people. I like unique. And honestly, right. I learn from them and just gain different experience. And then just hearing you guys on podcasts and just your takes on Twitter, like, I just love it. And I believe that. And I think there's just a stigma, oh, of fantasy football is just like a man thing, you know? And I think we need to get rid of that. You know, it's 2020. Like, we're evolved. There's so many awesome people and different people that right. can contribute and have awesome content. And I'm just a big believer that we can all grow together. I'm not trying to exclude anybody unless you're again a hater or a troll. I want everyone to grow. I want this to be different. I want the fantasy football space to be us, but I want it to be bigger, and I just want to be a part of it. So
that's great. I mean, it is so cool and refreshing to see somebody like that, because there are some bigoted and dumb people out there that, you know, I don't want to listen to a person because of the color of their skin or the gender or whatever. And it's like, at the end of the day, just grow up. We're all giving advice, you know? And I think the comeuppance of podcast and YouTube and streaming and all of that jazz, I think that that's been important, even though some people might say it's not. I think that the reason, one of the big reasons that it's important, is because you get to see all different shapes, sizes, colors, genders, you know, religions, thought processes, everything, like across the board. It's, you find, I mean, if you go on Twitter, there's like 10 different personalities just right there, you know, and it's, nobody's the same. And that's what sticks out too, is don't try to be something that you're not, like we were talking about earlier, be yourself and, you know, have each other's back, and don't try to, don't be a jerk.
Simple. Like, don't be a jerk, man. It's like, it's not that hard. Like, if don't be a jerk and respect others. Like, it's not always about being right. Like, again, yeah. People can, and it's fine if people disagree. Like, we're always going to disagree. And like, I like spirited debate if it's positive. It's, and again, I don't want everyone to agree. One of the best parts of fantasy football is when people have different opinions and people express their opinions. For sure. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be disrespectful, because once you start being disrespectful, that's when like I start being done with you, or I don't want to listen to you, unfollow you, mute you, whatever. So
right. And you work for ladies. You write over there for ladies who are, you know, the top at their game, you know. And so that's pretty dope as well. And to be able to be under that umbrella of a brand, you know, you're in the Ball Blast brand. How important do you think that having a brand and making it your own is? I know that, you know, there's the different, you know, like the fantasy footballers or this, and, you know, you got Ball Blast, you got 444. So how do you feel having your own specific brand can really make, you know, you get more followers, more people reading your stuff if you've got a brand behind you? You think it's important?
I think it's extremely important. I believe also it's kind of being like an entrepreneur. Like, not everyone's going to be an ESPN or Yahoo. It's your own thing. And then you have creative control of how you want to run it. And that's why Kate and Michelle have done a fantastic job, especially being women in this industry. Mm-hmm. They, again, you guys deal with things that we'll never, us men will never have to deal with, whether it's gross guys, whether it's haters, whatever the case may be. So to be able to build your own brand and grow and be recognized, you know, you're still going to get haters, but it says a lot about your perseverance, your determination, your character, being able to do that. And also, it's just a representation of yourself. Like, everyone has a brand, even if you don't have your own site.
Yep.
Everyone has their own personal brand. Like, for me, like, I don't have my own site. I love being part of the Ball Blast team, but I have my own personal brand, like how I want to represent myself on Twitter and when I'm networking with people. So, and it's extremely important to just be you. And again, this Kate and Michelle, awesome, awesome team. And just shows like if they can do it, if I can do it, if Casey can do it, anybody can do it as long as you put the time in. And one of those things, like sometimes you have to create your own time. It's not always going to be there for you. Like people aren't just going to give you handouts. Like right. Make sure you're doing what you're doing to, you know, grow, to stand out, things like that. Because people gonna realize if you're lazy, if you're not hustling, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. Like if that's your goal, like if your goal is not to be that, then fine. But if you want something, you ain't working for it, then you're not gonna get it. So
I agree with that as well. When you look at the words work ethic, what do you think?
I think work ethic is, I feel like it's a convoluted word. And what I mean by that is there's just so many different elements. It's not just working hard is, I think, a easy answer, but I think it's more than that. The work ethic has a lot to do with who you are as a person in terms of character, because laziness is a lot about you in terms of how you run your entire life if you don't have work ethic in certain ways. And I believe that you can tell people who have work ethic, because not everyone is trying to be Matthew Berry or not everyone's trying to be a fancy analyst. But for me, like, I just don't like people who, if you say you want something, but you're not doing what's necessary to get it, or you're making excuses, I think that's frustrating. Like, I don't like when people get jealous of other people or make excuses of, oh, people don't like my content, or I don't get enough traction because of X, Y, and Z. Like, the excuses aren't doing anything for you. Like, those excuses aren't helping you grow or to reach your goals. If one way is not working, find a different way. Figure out, like, reevaluate yourself and see, what can I be doing better? And work ethic is about not working hard, but kind of just looking at everything, looking at yourself, taking a deep dive, like, hey, how can I be better? And finding ways to improve yourself. So I think that's kind of my answer for work ethic.
When you are trying to relax and get your brain out of fantasy football mode, out of writing, out of podcasting, what are some things that you like to do to just unwind and kind of just have a breather?
Sure. And I'm probably going to do that after this. Yeah. One of the things I'm a self-proclaimed nerd, and it's funny. It took a while for me to accept my nerdiness, but I love anime. So one of the things I do is I love animes. I watch it. And it's funny because, like, especially for, like, cardio, like at the gym, like if anyone's into anime, like, it's watching anime while doing cardio, it's dope. Like, it helps give you energy and get you motivated. So just kind of a hint for anyone who likes anime, but I love that to relax. I just love, like, superhero movies. So, like, Marvel, DC, anything like that. I'm a huge nerd for that. And just, like, Netflix series. Like, I don't get to watch it as much. Before I entered the fantasy football community, after, like, my day job, I used to just enjoy these things more. But now that I do fantasy football and that, I need to find more time for myself to decompress and relax. And I give people that advice. Like, I need to take my own advice sometimes, because, you know, if you don't have that recovery, if you don't have those mental breaks, then you're going to run yourself down. So, like, that recovery is so important for you to bounce back stronger and to be able to put out quality. So, and also, like, working out, honestly, working out is my stress relief, because I get frustrated. Sometimes my stress gets to me. So when I wake up, like, when I get up in the morning and I don't work out, like, I feel like crap all day. And for me, like, it gives me those endorphins. It puts me in the right space. So that's another thing I do to kind of relax and kind of get away.
Well, speaking of relaxing, let's go to our last question. That's not so relaxing. I'm pretty sure this isn't a relaxing time, but how is watching football with you on a typical Sunday? Is it relaxing, or are you all over the place, or are you stressed out? Or
Man, you know, it's funny. I would like to think that I'm pretty chill. I'm probably more chill than others, but especially when the Dolphins are on, I'm probably unbearable if we're not doing well, because especially our defense playing well, but, you know, our offense sometimes looks sucky, so I get frustrated. So my wife hates it, especially, and also it's a combination of not just my team, but my fantasy teams. Like, I've gotten better. It's funny because this year has probably been the year that I've cared less about losses. Like, I care about them. I'm very competitive. But at the same time, I'm like, sometimes, if I see a player like sucking or drop a ball, I'm like, God damn it. You know, like I'm jumping out of my chair. My wife's like, what the hell is he mad at? So I can get a little crazy from time to time. But overall, I think I'm pretty chill.
I've been pretty chill this season, but I think it's just because my team has been sucking. And all you can do is just sit there and when you get a game like the last game, then you're like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. But yeah. I don't I'm just like, whatever, typical Cowboys. All right. Well, I've had a blast talking to you, Troy. Like, it's just great to be able to talk to you one-on-one and kind of just get a little chip away at your backstory and get some tips from you, because I know people really want to get some ideas on how to start a podcast and how to have their voice heard and how to put out great articles and great content. So before we go, I will plug everything at the beginning of the show, but if you want to go ahead and just summarize everything about you in a little nutshell, if you will.
Sure. So you can find me at TKingMode on Twitter. I am a writer for Ball Blast Football, as well as I'm one of the co-hosts for Fantasy Football Confidential. We are on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check us out. And yeah, that's about it, man. I appreciate everybody that's been supporting me, rocking with me. You know, you're still going to get, you know, my memes, my Photoshop, I'm Flashback Friday music. So just keep rocking with me, man. It's just the beginning. So thank you all.
Y'all go follow Troy. He's got a lot of awesome content on his Twitter. It will be the best Twitter follow you've done in a very long time. So go follow Troy. And we'll see you guys and gals again next week.